As you get started on your Thanksgiving weekend, you may just want to check out folk singer and songwriter Amber Rubarth's music, because she is living her dream. She has opened for Emmy Lou Harris, she's appeared as a special guest in a sold-out Carnegie Hall concert, and she performed by invitation at the independent TED event TEDx in Kansas City earlier this year. Tomorrow night, she's going to be performing live with Dave Eggar at LA's Hotel Cafe as she promotes her new live CD, Sessions from the 17th Ward. We talked about her background. Amber, how did you first know that music was what you really wanted to do?
Oh, wow. You know, I knew when I was as far back as I can remember, but I didn't actually admit it to myself or allow myself to do it until I was 20 years old. And I always have this feeling of knowing that that's what I wanted to do and that's what I loved the most. But when I was 20, I had been a wood sculptor. Actually, I was a chainsaw carver for about 3 years in Nevada. And the person that I was studying under, he became a mentor to me, and he told me that the most important thing he'd ever learned was that you have to follow your number one passion. You can't follow your second or third. If you're going to be effective in being great in the world, you really have to have it be the number one thing that you love the most. And I don't know if it was just the timing of when he said it or that I was ready for a change or what it was, but he kind of just said, you know, he kind of changed it around for me to make it feel more like it was a responsibility and that was a duty to do what you really love so that you can excel at it and serve everything, you know, serve your purpose in the world. So that really just switched it for me. And right when he said that, I decided to stop doing chainsaw carving and start picking up a guitar and playing, you know, writing songs.
So you had that discussion. What happened for you next?
Well, I finished up, you know, there's a couple months of just finishing up the commissions that I was doing right there at the studio, but I really put all of my effort into writing songs, and I started playing guitar, which I hadn't played before, and started going to open mics and seeing what else other people were doing. And it was interesting because I didn't have a lot of music in my life growing up. I lived with my dad and my brother, and there just wasn't really, we didn't have a TV, we didn't have, you know, my dad had a few CDs, but they were for the most part pretty bad. And so it was kind of like, it felt like this brand new world that I already, like I knew I loved music always because I would, you know, sing and stuff to myself, but it feels like I really didn't know about music yet. So it was about like 4 solid years, I would say, of first picking up a guitar and starting to open mics and stuff like that, seeing what other people were doing, you know, starting to record a little bit, start playing coffee shops, start doing more like gigs and then traveling around. I got one of my first things was I had a friend that I had met who was playing in New York, and he invited me to go open up for him on tour. And that was huge for me because I hadn't really traveled before and I hadn't, you know, been playing very long. So it kind of all felt like it blossomed really quickly, you know, to give me experience to play a lot. Like I would just be playing every single day of the week. And also the experience of traveling, which was brand new and fed into the songs a lot.
Take me back in your imagination, if you would. What was that like opening up for your friend on tour that first time?
Oh, it was dreamy. Like, I think because I hadn't admitted to myself that I really wanted to do music, and then all of a sudden I threw myself in it, like completely 100%. It felt, I don't even know really how to describe it. It felt like this dream, like a dream, really. Like it felt so different than any of my life before that. And it felt so right. Like I was very fed in my soul by doing it. And the whole traveling thing was like so exciting for me, and collaborating with other people and seeing what they were doing. And it felt like a dream. I don't know, you know, that's super cliche and everything, but it felt like an alternate world that didn't connect to anything that I had really lived in before.
Well, I love that description, very fed in your soul. If ever there was fulfillment, that's it.
Yeah.
Fast forward to today, if I'm counting right, Sessions from the 17th Ward is going to be your 8th CD, Counting Paper Raincoat. Do I have that correct?
Wow, you know, you might be correct. That seems like a lot.
What was the experience like for you of recording Sessions from the 17th Ward?
It was really fantastic. It was a special experience because there's a couple people that I've been playing with a lot. One of them is Dave Eggar, who is a cellist, who is just absolutely incredible. And he's actually who I'm out on tour with right now. And he is just, I can't say enough good things about him. He's the greatest cellist I've ever heard. before, and he's also really unique in how he relates to songs, because I think that, especially of musicians, he's very lyrical. Like, when he first hears a song, he really follows a storyline, and he's very emotionally attached to the lyrics before just thinking about the melody and the tempo and, you know, like all the things that you learn. I feel like he has this incredible amount of knowledge because he's studied and he knows a lot more. Like, he has a lot of tools and he can play a lot. And, you know, he has like an extreme amount on this side that's very technical, but at the same time, he has an equal extreme on this side that's very, very emotional. And I've never played with any musician that's so incredible. I mean, he's really fantastic. So that was really special for me to be recording this with him. And then there's a violinist that is on it named Tim Snyder, who's also one of the best musicians that I've heard. And the cool thing, there's four of us. There's Tim Snyder on violin. There's Chuck Palmer on cajon, which was fantastic. He's really, really great. And Dave Agar on cello and myself. And the cool thing was we recorded it all live in this old church in Brooklyn. And it's kind of funny because the microphone that we record is one microphone, and it looks like a crash test dummy. Like, it's a head and a torso. It's a microphone. And his name is Lars, actually. Like, he's sitting on a chair, and he is the microphone. And he hears exactly like a human hears. So when you listen back to it, as far as three-dimensional sound, you're hearing exactly the placement of where each of us were sitting and playing from. So if I was sitting really close to the microphone and right in front, which I normally was right in front, if I moved like a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, you hear it when you're listening back in an extreme amount, just as if somebody were in front of you, especially if you're listening to these HD recordings that they have on Chesky Records on the HD tracks. But yeah, the whole thing was really incredible because it felt very easy. It felt like it was really about getting the right feel of things. And it was live, you know, it was all live in this beautiful church with natural reverb, and there was no mixes, there was no editing, you know, it was really about capturing the feeling of it and then being done with it.
How did you come to choose a church as where you were going to be recording?
That was where they were recording. So I had done a project with David Chesky, who runs Chesky Records, and he was recording kind of a compilation of all these different things that he would have, like, in order to show off this microphone. So there was one, you know, one symphony, one funk band, one gospel group, one pop act, and he was looking for somebody who was doing folk, and Dave Agar was doing a lot of the strings and a lot of the arrangements for these other people. And so he suggested that I come in, and we did Storms Around the Ocean, the Carter Family tune. So we did that one song, and then he said, hey, do you want to make a record? And I was like, of course I do. That sounds incredible. So he'd been recording in that church, and it's a really, really beautiful space. You know, all the reverb and everything just comes back to you in this really beautiful way where you don't have to add anything. You know, all the things that a lot of times in studios you'll add, you know, a plate reverb or a church reverb, it's all actually there, and it's all being captured natural.
Storms are on.